Good morning, church. It's great to be with you. Excited to be here to be able to do devotions with you this morning and just be able to worship with Ed. And so thankful for this technology, the ability to just gather in this way. In the chat, we'd love to know how far you're tuning in from. If you're outside of Indianapolis, you know, let us know in there just where you're watching from, where you're listening from. Share prayer requests in there as we collect those and just take a great joy to just to be able to pray with you guys. So, hey, pray with me real quick before we go into the study of the Word. So, Lord, thanks for this morning. And Jesus, I just ask that in all we talk about this morning, Lord, anything that's of man, may it be forgotten. But Jesus, anything that's of your Spirit, may we not be able to escape it. And so, Lord, just encourage us this morning as we delve into how we think about things with these minds that you've given us. And so just bless this short time that we have together in devotion. So we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I miss hearing you say amen back, right? So, amen. So this morning, I just want to ask you a question about how's your thinking these days? Maybe we've had more time to be thinking than we're used to, and more time on our hands of sorts where we're not coming and going and running from one thing to another, and lots of times with our thoughts. And the Bible actually has a lot to say about how we think about things. And this has been a very big part of my life and my growth in Christ, and I just want to share just a quick study this morning, and I'll be sure to speak briefly for as long as possible, as a good friend of mine says, and just think about and talk about this idea of how we handle our thoughts. There's a guy, Dr. James Gills, who's run, he's completed at least 6 double Ironmen. And so that's where you run an Ironman, the biking and the running and the swimming, and then you get up the next day and you do one again. You have to complete it within a 36-hour period. And he did his last one in his late 50s, which is just amazing to me. But he said this. They asked him, how'd you ever be able to do this? And he said this quote. He says, "I learned to talk to myself instead of listening to myself. I learned to talk to myself instead of listening to myself." And this is so powerful because as we think, right, Proverbs tells us, as a man thinks, so he is. Our thinking is so incredibly powerful about how we interact and take in and digest the world around us and how we walk in our faith. This is actually a funny story that this is how I think is how I got through my first root canal. Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." I must have recited that to myself about 1,000 times in a few hours of a root canal. And as I think back to my first memory of when I was super conscious in faith about what was I thinking about and how was I thinking about something, that to me at the time, I grew up with a great fear of dentists. And it just really got me through that moment in that way. So this past Sunday, Bill taught from Philippians 2, 1 through 4, and he talked about how unity in the body of Christ came through humility and self-sacrifice. And in verse 2, it says, "like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind," and how humility and self-sacrifice comes into that. Well, next Sunday, we'll be starting off in verse 5. I'm sorry, not this Sunday because of Easter, but the following Sunday. And the next verse coming in Philippians is, "Let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus." And so we have this command, this ability through God to have the mind of Christ within us. And it really does take these same two things. It takes humility and self-sacrifice to how we can be able to walk in that and think in that in the way Jesus thinks about things. The mind of Christ is one of humility. Self-sacrifice is critical for us, even more so in hard times. Because I don't know about you guys, but in a blink of an eye, my mind can be wandering and racing off from one thought to the next. And I think that's the nature of how our physical minds work. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 talks about this idea of the mind of Christ, right? Starting in verse 14, it says, "But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach the Lord? But we understand these things," and this is the key, "for we have the mind of Christ." That's a statement, a declaration of God to us, telling us that in Jesus, as saved people, as saints, we have the mind of Christ. That's one of the things that is imparted or given to us in our salvation. God is asking us to think differently than the world does. And he's empowering us to do it by the Holy Spirit. Now, I think there's a great application to this, and one of my life verses in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Now, our minds are part of our bodies that we are to submit to God. That is supposed to be also part of our sacrifice. So as we think about that humility and self-sacrifice aspect, that our mind is to be submitted to God in this way, and that how we think about things is just as important on how we act on things. So not just our actions, but our thinking, we are to submit to God. We are to give that over to him. Now, this is not natural to our flesh, right? Apart from Christ, this is totally unnatural and impossible for us. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 5, says this, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded or fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit." And that's a promise of God that as believers in Jesus Christ, we are in the Spirit. And that as a spiritually minded person, right, that we can have life and peace. And I don't know about you, but the world is crying out for life and peace right now. And he is telling us that we have the ability to have this regardless of circumstances and how the world swirls around us. Now, the Holy Spirit, I believe, definitely empowers us to think differently. But it does come with a sacrifice. We have to give up how the world thinks, how the flesh thinks, and how the enemy wants us to think. I want to repeat that. We have to self-sacrifice away from what the world thinks, what the flesh thinks, and how the enemy wants us to think. First, we have to embrace this truth. By the Holy Spirit, thoughts are not out of our control, right? They are under our control. He gives us the ability to be in control of our thoughts. Now, I heard this quote of someone. It said, "Thoughts are not something you have. They are something you own." And I want you to think about that. We think about something long enough, it really does take ownership in our life. I mean, if we're not careful, we can give some wrong thoughts, some ungodly thoughts, some total untruths, the title deed of our mind, right? And it's really hard to evict somebody when it has the title deed. So there's a rootedness that takes heart in our lives the more and more we think on something. We have to learn to take our thoughts captive. Now, I know we've heard this scripture, right? The Word of God is a filter for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." There it is, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We have the opportunity in a self-sacrificial way, in a humbling way, to bring every thought that we have and take it to the Word of God, take it to the obedience of Christ, into that mind of Christ to say, what does Jesus think about this? What does the Word of God think about this thought? All right? We have to cry out to God and ask him, "Lord, help me to think differently." But one of the most important things initially then is just to know that is what I'm thinking godly or ungodly. It's why I love our pastor, his continuance to press us into the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Because it's by having the Word of God in us that helps us to know the filter and have it there available to us. So that as thoughts come into our mind, we can pour them through the filter or the sieve of the Word of God and let all the untruths, let the things of the flesh, the things of the world, the things of the enemy get caught out and taken away. And what pours through is that thinking of the mind of Christ. Paul gave us a model for this. He gave us a model on how to think about these things. And in Philippians 4, it says this first part of these verses, we've heard this. People are quoting this verse a lot in these times, right? In verse 6 in Philippians chapter 4, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. Such a key there, our hearts and our minds, through Christ Jesus. And then in 8, he starts the model for us. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate or think on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, Paul says, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. He gives us this model to say, build this filter up in the Word of God. You know, we're talking a lot about filters right now, right? Masks and things and what keeps one certain things out and what keeps other things out. Here Paul is constructing this filter of true and noble and just and pure and lovely and good report, anything of virtue and praiseworthy, this filter of the Word of God that said, let your thoughts pour through this filter and get rid of the stuff that isn't going to help you, that's going to be toxic to our spiritual lives, to our lives overall. The Word of God changes our way of thinking. The Holy Spirit does this in our lives. I had a friend years ago describe it like this, that our minds, essentially, as we think about things over and over again, we take what a new thought is a trail blazed with a machete through the woods, through the jungle. And if we keep thinking that thought over and over, before long, it's a walkable path, right? And we keep thinking that thought over and over, and before long, we've sprinkled down some mulch or some gravel, like in a state park, and now it's a little more, it's a wider path. Before long, we think that thought long enough, we've started to pave and stripe, and this thing looks like a real highway. And those thought patterns become very, very strong in our lives and the things and the way we've thought about things. So it's time by the Word of God that we abandon some of those roads that we've paved in our minds and the things that we've thought about in the natural self, the way the world thinks about things. We abandon those and start to take the self-sacrificial and humble effort of wearing some new paths in the way the Word of God thinks about things, the way the Holy Spirit is encouraging and telling us to think about things. And it will be wholly unnatural to us as we start those new paths. It'll be rough, like cutting the first path through the woods is. But it's so important. It's so important in the way we deal with the world around us. You want a test of how you're doing? Take the Lego test, right? Wait, Ron, what's the Lego test on how we're doing in the way that I think about things? Step on a Lego in the dark at 3 in the morning. And tell me what comes out of your mouth, because what came out of your mouth is what was in the overflow of your heart, Scripture says, right? And so the natural responses to our thing. How do we act when we smack our thumb with a hammer, right? It can literally tell us how real this is to us, how much our thinking has actually changed about things. We need to talk to ourselves instead of listening to ourselves. So here's some real practical advice, right, that a friend of mine says. It is totally okay to preach the gospel to yourself in our thinking, right? Preach the gospel to yourself. Remind ourselves what it is that we believe, right? That we were sinners, and while we were sinners, Christ came and died for us. That he paid the ultimate price for the need of our salvation. Like I deserve eternity in hell, right? But what he's offered me is eternity in heaven with him. That we can witness to ourselves, right? We can witness to ourselves when thoughts of doubt come. We can say, that's not what God says. That's not what the Holy Spirit says to me. It's not what the Word of God says to me, right? We can counter ourselves when a thought comes to our mind. We don't have to take every thought that we hear in our minds and accept them as, well, I just have to own that now because it's a thought that I've had. We can argue back in the sense of, no, this is what the Word of God says. That thought is untrue. So I want to share it with this, right? That there's this aspect that we can pray without ceasing for God to help change our thinking, right? We can take responsibility for the thoughts that we are having, right? we can look at those and say, okay, I'm not going to just be subject to what I'm thinking. I'm going to be in control, and I'm going to talk to myself as the Scriptures talk to myself, as the Holy Spirit talks to us. I'm not just going to listen to myself. I know there's a times where when I have thoughts like this, it's a simple action of saying, Lord, forgive me. That is not true. It's not what you want me thinking about. Would you help change my mind? Would you give me the mind of Christ? And Jesus is so, so faithful and so quick to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And if I have to do that 100 times before breakfast, then it is worth it. Because eventually, those new paths, that new way of thinking, how Scripture and how the Lord tells us and asks us to, they become well-worn paths, they become traveled paths, they become the real roadways of how we think about the world and how we interact with the world, and then they become the reactions to questions and things that happen around us, because our thinking, as the Holy Spirit leads us and changes us and sanctifies us and transforms us in our mind, in the renewing of our mind, that becomes the driving way that we think about the world. So my encouragement for us this morning is that don't just listen to yourself, talk to yourself. Talk to yourself in the way that the Lord would talk to you. When you have a thought, ask yourself, okay, where's my filter? Is this how Jesus would think about this? Is this how the Holy Spirit would have me think about these things going on all around me? Many things outside of our control. But He gives us the ability to control and take every thought captive. And so my prayer for you guys today is that this would be an encouragement to gain control and start talking to ourselves in a way that is encouraging to us and those around us as well. I also want to encourage anyone this morning, if you don't know for sure that if today you passed away, that you would be with Jesus forever and ever, then it's as simple as bowing your heart and believing on Him and asking Him to forgive you and asking Him to be the Lord of your life. So I'm going to pray that as well as we wrap up this morning. And I just encourage you to pray that along with me if that's something that you know right now that you have a need in your life in that way. So let's pray. Jesus, thank you for this morning. Thank you for these few short minutes that we have together. Thanks for the ability to do this. And Lord, I just pray that whoever is hurting and sick out there, Lord, would you please touch them? Lord, would you minister to them? Would you heal them, Lord Jesus? And Lord, would you speak to them by your Spirit and encourage them in ways that maybe could never have been done without this season, Lord? I pray many are coming to Christ, Lord, in this season. And so, Lord, I just pray that we would learn to be active participants in what we think about, Lord, as we talk to ourselves, not just people who listen to ourselves, and then just accept every thought that comes into our minds. That we'd let your word, Jesus, be a filter for us. That we'd have your mind, the mind of Christ. That we'd take every thought captive. And Lord, this morning, if there's anybody that's tuning in right now, Lord, that doesn't know for certain that if they died today, they would be with you forever and ever. That they would have forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Lord, I pray they'd pray this along with me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, I've sinned against you. You're a loving God, and Lord, I've ignored you, I've rejected you, but I know this morning that I have a need, that I need saving, I need a Savior. And Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, that you have paid the penalty for all of my sins on the cross, and that you were risen on the third day, Lord, resurrected, came back to life to make there be a way for me to have eternal life with you forever, Jesus. So come into my life, be the Lord of my life, Lord, and help me to submit myself to you and follow you. It's just that simple, Lord. I thank you for that. Lord, bless these folks this morning. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for how great you are and how much you love us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.